Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me again to the book of Kings. We're in the second chapter still. 2 Kings chapter 2. In verse 7, it reads, "And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan," the two meaning the two prophets, Elijah and Elisha. "And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass," in verse 11, "as they still went on and talked, that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." Heavenly Father, once again, thank you for your wonderful, precious word. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you've given us something from heaven. We can read it, we can feast upon it, we can hide it in our heart, as I believe David said. We can do our best to live by it. And I know that this is the way that we ought to go. This is what we ought to walk therein, as the Psalms say. Please help me to preach. Please help me to minister, to serve the people. Not to lord anything, but to serve. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. This should be the last time that we take a look at this chapter. And I don't apologize for going slow. I don't apologize for taking my time. The Bible says that God prepares a table in the wilderness. And if there was ever a time in America's history that we're in the wilderness, it's now. You can read, I believe it's 1 Samuel, that there was a famine in the land, not of grain or cattle to eat, but a famine of the Word of God. Strange thing to say, there's a church on every corner. As I drive out of here, I get out the subdivision, I go right, I pass three churches and a half a mile. Church everywhere I look, and this is in the country. In the city, it's that bad or worse? Worse. How can that be? Church on every corner. Yes, but unfortunately, few preach the uncompromised Word of God. Many make excuses for it. They use other methods these days. They're afraid to preach certain topics, and I don't want to get off into all of that, but the end result is that there isn't much pure gospel being preached while we have more and more people in America every day. More are born, fewer die, we live longer, and every day people slip off into hell without the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that worries me, that bothers me, and I hope that we would get back to the Father's business. And I hope that the church as a whole would return to its first love and to preach Jesus, to look to Jesus, to proclaim Jesus, to magnify Him, to point out that people ought to trust in Him, etc. I can go on. We need to get back to looking to the Lord and trusting in Him and taking Him at His word, not saying, well, you know, the Bible says this, but well, you know, we're educated and we understand evolution, and so that we don't really believe it. Now, we need to believe the Word of God for what it says. For if we do, we'll find treasure in heaven. If we do, we'll find the still small voice speaking to us, leading us, telling what to do. We'll find, I am the Lord that healeth thee, if we believe that He can heal. In one place or another, I've forgotten the name, Jesus, the King of Kings, God from heaven. He went to one village or another and they didn't believe. They wouldn't have anything of what He said. They wanted their stuff, their religion, their tradition, their own way. And it says that because of their lack of faith, He was unable to do very many miracles. Now this is God come in the flesh. God can do anything. There's nothing too hard for God. God's omnipotent. We understand all of that, but God Himself confessed that, hey, I can't perform many miracles here because these people, they just don't believe. And that probably describes most of our churches today. But as we read and study this chapter, I said last time that it's important to distinguish the two prophets, the first one, Elijah, the second one, Elisha. I said it was important to distinguish because in this portion that we're studying today, we see both of them walking together. They were warned, if you want to use that word, it's the wrong word, but everywhere they went that day, they were warned that, hey, Elijah is going to go up into heaven. And Elisha said, I know it, I know it. So warning is the wrong word. I apologize for it. But they knew something was going to happen. And they had a fair idea that of what was going to happen. But it says, as I began to take my text, that the 50 men of the sons of the prophets, they said, well, something's going to happen. And look, we're going to stand way back there in case something happens. We don't want to get hurt. We don't know what's going to happen. We're going to stand afar off and we're going to watch. And they did watch and they did see that Elijah was taken up into heaven. So these two prophets, Elijah and Elisha, are important. Very important. It tells the story of Jesus Christ and the church. In the portion we read, it says that Elisha, they had gone to Jordan. Elisha said to his master, his mentor, Elijah, look, wherever you go, I'm going to go with you. And we went last time that I preached here. I went over the different towns, Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, and then finally they come to Jordan. And generally when we think of crossing the Jordan, we think of death and then going on to heaven. And that's exactly in symbol here what happened. We understand that Jesus Christ, He told His disciples for 3.5 years, I came here, I'm healing the sick, I'm raising the dead, I'm casting out devils, I'm preaching sermons, and I'm counseling with people, I'm doing this and doing that, but I came to the earth to die for the sins of the world. And of course the disciple says, oh no, 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 you're not going to die. I mean, don't say that. Get thee behind me, Satan, etc. was the response by Christ. Because his message and the reason for his coming was to die on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the world. Jesus in his blood is the answer to the sin problem. And I've preached on that so many times, I've absolutely lost count. But that's his reason for coming, was to give his life a ransom for many. But we understand that he finally did go to the cross. And then 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He was seen by his close disciples, Mary, Peter, etc., a few here and there. He appeared to Thomas and said, okay, look, you know, I know you made those comments. Go ahead and put your hand in my side and see that, hey, it's really me. It says that after he rose from the dead, another 47 days, he was with his disciples, maybe part of the 70. It says at one point, 500 people were there and Jesus appeared. But in Acts chapter 1, Jesus went to heaven. And his disciples were standing there and saying, what? What's this? There was a cloud from heaven that appeared and Jesus ascended in that cloud. And the two angels that stood by afterwards says, hey, he's coming back. Don't worry. But this event in 2 Kings chapter 2 mentions that. It's mentioned in symbolism. It's mentioned as a type. It foreshadows the ascension of Christ. In fact, the death, burial, and resurrection, and then ascension of Christ. But the last thing that's recorded that the two prophets said, it says that they walked and talked in verse 11, and then the chariot came down. But in verse 9 and verse 10, it says that Elisha asked for a double portion of the Spirit that rested upon his mentor Elijah. There are many that have made a great to-do, I suppose, in the charismatic movement about the anointing. The word anoint in English, in Hebrew, and in Greek we have interpretations that it end up in English, anoint. It means to smear on. To smear on. Doesn't matter what you're smearing, but the verb means to smear on. But in the Old Testament and New Testament context, it has to do with smearing on of olive oil. We call it the anointing oil. It's the oil that's used to smear on. And you can go through Moses and what have you, and they talk about when they set up the temple and they consecrated all the different things in the temple and the priests, they would smear on oil and sometimes blood, but they would smear on oil on the pieces of furniture, on the ears of the people, the priests and what have you. They would smear on oil. Oil, a symbol of the Holy Spirit. There are seven symbols of the Holy Spirit. Maybe at one time I'll get to go through that. But one of the great symbols of the Holy Spirit would be oil. When someone was appointed to be a minister, they would have some small ceremony, which we have, I guess, a similar ceremony in our churches, some of our churches today. If someone is called to preach and he's ordained or something, then the other ministers will lay hands upon him and perhaps anoint him with oil. And say, okay, you know, we've come before you, Lord. This man seems to be called of God, and we want to help him to fulfill this ministry, etc. And they will lay hands, and maybe sometimes they would anoint him with oil. The Word of God talks about anointing with oil for the sick. Again, a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And in the prayer, asking God to heal, asking the Lord Jesus to heal. But we know it's by the agent of the Holy Spirit. So again, this symbol is used, oil. I said before, I'll say it again, that Elijah performed seven miracles in this request he makes, Elisha makes, I pray thee, let a double portion be upon me of thy spirit. It turns out that it's recorded that Elisha did 14 miracles. 14 is double 7. And I'm sure there was more that went with that, but certainly the numbers work out that it's double. But the chariot comes. The angels or whatever part the two prophets asunder. And Elijah went up into heaven by a whirlwind. Now again, in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says that Jesus, talking with his disciples, blessing them, praying for them, whatever, then he went up into heaven. He parted from his disciples and went to heaven. In a cloud, it says, as opposed to a whirlwind here, but he went to heaven. Again, this foreshadows the ascension of Christ. But it says in verse 13, he took up also, speaking of Elisha, because he was the only one there, he took up also the mantle that of Elijah. Let me try it again. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the river Jordan. This mantle, we've all seen pictures of mantles. It's the prayer shawl that observant Jews wear. We've all seen pictures of Israel or what have you. We've seen this colorful shawl that the rabbis or something would wear. In the Old Testament, it's referred to sometimes as other things, but also as a mantle. This mantle, again, symbolic. And there's a great deal of symbolism involved, but I'll leave most of that alone. But I'll say that the mantle resting upon the shoulders, draped over the body, is a symbol of the anointing of the Spirit of God from heaven that rests upon those ministers that God calls. He went up into heaven. Remember, he said, I want a double portion of your spirit. But when Elijah went up, the mantle, the prayer shawl fell off as he went up into heaven in that chariot, blew off, what have you. But it says that Elisha, the prophet, picked up the mantle. And then he began to perform miracle after miracle after miracle after that. We understand, as I said, that Elijah is a picture of Christ. And I said earlier that Elisha, the second prophet, is a picture of the church. Christ came down from heaven, born of a virgin, we understand that, healed thousands, tens of thousands of people, preached umpteen messages, an awful lot of people got saved. He cast out devils. He did all of the things that's recorded in the Gospels. But when he was done, he went to the cross, rose from the grave, and 50 days after he went to the cross, he rose up to heaven. That first feast is called Passover, and Christ was crucified on Passover. We understand that. Or the day before, we understand that. The preparation day when the lamb was killed. But the 50th day is known as Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost. And I preached on that here, actually. And on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it says that the Spirit of God fell from heaven and rested upon the disciples and prepared them, anointed them, empowered them to preach the gospel. And you can look at the change that happens when a person is anointed, truly anointed by the Spirit, simply by looking at Peter. He was a changed man. So, the falling from the chariot of the prayer shawl, the mantle from Elijah, falling to earth, and then the second prophet picking it up, that is a symbol of what happened on the day of Pentecost. But the second man of God did pick it up and did minister. And Christ, after he went back to heaven, the Spirit of God fell on the day of Pentecost, and we, it's our turn to minister. It's our turn to win the lost. It's our turn, perhaps, to heal the sick. It's certainly our turn to preach the gospel. And we need His Spirit to effectively do that. But this double portion, it says, when Jesus is speaking in the book of John, chapters 14 through 16, in His great teaching about the Holy Spirit, in chapter 12, it says that we would do greater works than Christ Himself. I don't know double, I don't understand if we can count that. And who can do more or greater works than Christ? But He said, we'll do greater works than He Himself. Again, this was foreshadowed by the two prophets, one doing seven miracles, the second asking for a double portion, and then performing 14. In verse 16 of this chapter, 2 Kings chapter 2, somebody said, behold now, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or in some valley. And he said, you shall not send. Because Elisha knew that, hey, he's going to heaven. He's going to heaven. He's staying in heaven. But these 50 men, or they wanted to send 50 men to go look for Elijah. And then finally they kept bugging him and kept bugging him, and okay, all right, fine, go. So they sent 50 men, and it says in verse 17, and they sought him 3 days, but found him not. That is another pair of symbols. They sought him 3 days, and found him not. Jesus was in the grave 3 days. And the 50 men that were sent out to look for him, that's a symbol of the 50-day range between Passover and Pentecost. Now this last two items. In verse 19, it says that the water is not and the ground barren. And he said, bring me a new cruiser or pot and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of waters in verse 21 and cast the salt in there, and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. And so the waters were healed unto this day. You see, we're the salt of the earth. Christ has gone on to heaven, but we're left here to preach the gospel. We're the salt of the earth. It's our job to go into the earth, into all the world, and preach the gospel. And where we go, it says in one of my favorite verses, favorite chapters, Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 12, it says that we'll draw water out of the wells of salvation. Wherever we go bringing the gospel, then we bring healing to that community or to that family or to that individual life. And as we sang a while ago, that spring up, O well, within my soul. Again, it talks about us preaching the gospel in the church age. Then this last part about the kids that mocked Elisha and said, hey, go up thou bald pate. In other words, hey, baldy, why don't you go up like your master Elijah? And it says that he cursed them in the name of the Lord. And then two she-bears came out of the wood and mauled 42 children of them. That's a terrible thing. That's horrible. But you see, the ascension, in fact, every event of the gospel, and the eventual return of the Lord Jesus to this earth is serious business. This gospel is serious business. Maybe cursing in the name of the Lord and the bears tearing or mauling the children. Maybe we look at that and say that's horrible. But again, he's saying that this gospel and the work of the gospel is of utmost importance. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We're so very much thankful for your word, for the ability to feast in it. Lord, help everyone that is listening. All of my brothers and sisters here, please, every trouble that they have, every difficulty that they have, I ask that you help them through it. I ask that you comfort them, give them strength, give them wisdom, tell them what to do. Help them in everything that they struggle with. And Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.